Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to the 7th episode of Bar Chords, a podcast by guitar nerds. Think of this as a supplementary podcast to the main shenanigans of guitar nerds. And this week, we're going to be listening to a little bit of bass. And there go 10,000 people turning off this podcast. No, we're going to have a little bit of bass, but we are going to talk about some other things as well. I've got some effects pedals that I want to listen to, but also, more importantly, I've been hashtag searching a lot on Instagram at the moment. You know, like things like, I mentioned it on the Guitar Nerds Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/Guitar Nerds Forum. I mentioned it on there, but I was looking a lot on modern guitars, and it wasn't specifically modern guitars that I was getting interested in, because of course my tastes tend to be much more traditional. I was quite enjoying checking out guitars that were weirdly cool. I think that's the appropriate term for them. Weirdly cool guitars. Guitars that, they can be modern, they can be traditional, but they do something that's definitely not what you expect, but still there's something about them that makes them good as opposed to bad. Anyway, so, you know, all of this was brought on by recently, and over the last couple of weeks I've played a few of them, SBC, Scatterbrain Concepts guitars, because they are weirdly cool. They're absolutely not what I would normally like. They're very modern, they're very woody, there's lots of burls and flames and things like that, and that's not my bag at all. Is it that much of a secret? I don't think it is, but of course, you know, Shell Pink is the colour of the Guitar Nerds podcast. Sunburst for me. Two-tone, three-tone, not too fast. Sunburst, my favourite finish. Most of my guitars are Sunburst, I reckon. I think, you know, so there you go. Anyway, so in theory, this super modern ergonomic style guitar, absolutely not for me, but I really enjoy playing them, and there's something about them, there's something about the look of these guitars that I was like, they are cool, they are super interesting, and I love how innovative they are. Like, they're not metal. Are they jazz fusion-y, I guess? I guess that's the sort of, jazz fusion's the genre that kind of embraced wood, isn't it? I guess, and weird things. But anyway, I go off track. This is so SBC guitars got me onto this thing, and I was like, I'm going to try searches for things, you know. I'm going to try searching things like headless, multi-scale, fan fret, hybrid guitar, like stuff like that. I was like, I'm going to just hashtag search things like that. I know. It obviously did bring up an awful lot of metal guitars. Lots of posy guys in Supreme t-shirts with lots of sort of stock tattoos standing on monitors. I hate new metal. Not new metal, but you know, like metal today. So posy. We get booked with a lot of bands today with their wireless kits, and they make sure they've always got, they employ people to go on tour with them who are literally there to Instagram for them. That's what it is. That's the road we're going down, everyone. That's the end result of rock and roll. Anyway, so it was a lot of chintz, but was that the appropriate use of the word chintz. Anyway, there was a lot of rubbish guitars, but there were some that I thought were really, really awesome. I'm actually putting together a little video on them. I just haven't had time to film the video just yet. But I do want to talk about a few of the guitars because they were so absolutely wonderful. Gillard guitars. Gillard. Sounds French. It's Canadian, of course. French Canadia. Yes. So I was checking out, I found this company, Gillard Guitars. Jay Gillard, who is a luthier, who makes wonderfully, wonderfully interesting guitars. There's this awesome project he's involved in called 99 James, which is in celebration of Sonic Union's 25th anniversary. They're building like a limited run of 25 guitars made from wood reclaimed from the historic building at 99 James Street in Canada. So very, very cool. I thought that was really cool. But really, for me, the things that I thought were most interesting, and let's see if I can find a picture of them to talk about them whilst I do that. And this is guitars that they have in stock. The thing that really got me was the first guitar. If you go to Gillard, J-I-L-L-A-R-D guitars.com, if you go to their in-stock section, then the very first guitar that comes up is a pink Strat. Very cool indeed. But not just any pink Strat, it's TV pink, is through TV pink for a start, so lovely wood grain coming through. They're a little bit bolder than shell, but not too much. Not like Mark Hoppus's horrible P-Bass pink. What do you call that? Hot pink. Not hot pink, but just a tasteful through pink. This Strat is completely traditional, except it's fan fretted, and it just looks amazing. I love that blending of modern and traditional. I really liked it on the very first Tosin Abasi Ibanez, like before he went all weird and spacey. I mean, I quite like the new one as well, but the original one, do you remember it? It was like an 8-string RD, but then it had all these really traditional appointments, like a torque guard. It was HSH as well, so it was just this massive single coil in the middle of it. And it was like a lovely through blonde, and it had binding and purfling. It was just, it was just lovely. It was like a lovely crossbreed of modern and traditional, and that's exactly what I got from these Gillard guitars. This pink Strat with its lovely fan frettedness, and they've replaced the 5-way selector for 3 individual pickup switches, which I thought was really nice. I kind of liked that. I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. I mean, admittedly, it's going to take you longer to switch between neck and bridge if that's what you do. You know, because it's 2 motions, I guess, rather than 1. You gotta switch 1 off and 1 on, or both on and then 1 off, you know. But nonetheless, it was super cool. And then like a single tone, so it's 1 volume and 1 tone. I thought, yeah, what a weirdly interesting guitar. With a 25-inch to 26.3 scale length. So just a touch slinkier on the high end, and then, you know, long enough on the low end that you can drop tune it appropriately. Purple Heart fretboard as well, which I thought, I was like, oh yeah, that's really, really cool. And then he does other things. There's this range called the Parle, which is kind of a sort of modern meets traditional small single cut. Oh, it's lovely. It's all sort of woody, but not too much. I'm very into that. But he does this thing called his piano offset, where if you have the guitar in standard tuning, obviously, if you have the guitar in standard tuning, then it's appropriate. The neck is set up so it has sort of block inlays, but there the blocks will appear. Let's see exactly how he put this. So yes, the inlays mimic a piano layout, so black is sharp or flat and the whites are the neutral tones when tuned to standard, if that makes sense. I mean, it looks completely bizarre. I think you might not understand that. I wouldn't if I'd have just read that out, but you know, definitely check it out. Very, very interesting, very cool. But I was like, yeah, oh, what a cool little brand that I'd never heard of. So I was very much enjoying checking them out. And that led me on to checking out a handful of others. Ethereal. Oh, I nearly did it. I nearly said ethereal. I was pulled up for saying that the other week. I don't know why I pronounce it like that. I guess so. Just an idiot. Anyway, ethereal guitars. So the whole idea of ethereal guitars is that they're experimental. So they don't use wood. They use aluminium and they use carbon fiber. Which they say is, you know, these materials provide superior quality such as rigidity and resonance, which make in turn for a more stable and reliable instrument. And importantly, it sounds great. Personally, I think that's rubbish. Like, I think if carbon fiber and aluminium did genuinely offer, you know, so much, if they were such obvious trade-offs against wood, then, you know, all guitars would now be made by this material. It's well known that aluminium, you know, is going to bend a million times more than wood based on heat. So I never buy that. I never buy this. Oh, it's superior. Because otherwise, you know, we wouldn't use the inferior material. You know, it's aluminium's very cheap to get hold of. Anyway, that doesn't mean they're not great. I still, you know what, I've got an absolute hankering for a Travis Bean at the moment. I was thinking about a millimetric bass, but I can't justify the spend. Anyway, talk about millimetric in a minute. So I was checking out these ethereal guitars. What's really interesting is that to go with the fact that he uses carbon fiber and aluminium, his other thing is that he tries to rethink 3D form. They're very interesting. So his guitars will have like hollow parts of the aluminium or carbon fiber, depending on what model you're looking at, and those parts are kind of shaped almost like a digital spine, I guess. There are always these very geometric shapes. You know, these are certainly a very metal-esque guitar, but I just thought they looked incredible, like fan fretted and, you know, Fishman Fluence pickups. There's a particular guitar on the website now. It's etherealguitars.com, but they're Aswin Carbon, which is for sale on there, where the neck and the body of the guitar is made from a single billet of aluminium, and the fretboard is carbon fiber. And I was just like, wow, what an incredible feat of, you know, what a gorgeous piece of workmanship. It's quite an incredible instrument to look at. Have you heard of them? Ethereal Guitars. I found them on Instagram, and I was like, man, these guys should be the biggest aluminium carbon fiber company, Australian. But yeah, really, really into them. Really love the look of them. Anyway, so I continued on my search, and I discovered something absolutely ridiculous, even by the standards of what I've pointed out. So I will point out all of these guitars I think are very, very cool. They're like weirdly cool. What do you think? Do you agree? Are these guitars too far? Have I lost my mind? Have I been staring at guitars so much that I've completely lost my mind? Or are these guitars actually cool? Let me know on the Facebook group. I'm going to stop just saying what the Facebook link is, because I think you'll know what it is. Or on Twitter or on Instagram at Guitarnerds. Anyway, so I found this other guitar, Hybrid Guitars, hybrid-guitars.com. Oh my goodness. So, of the five companies I chose to focus on, two were Canadian and one was Australian and one was English, and this one was the only American company that came up. Whether that means America are, generally speaking, making more conventional guitars than certainly the Canadians, but certainly they're making up for it with hybrid guitars. So, first of all, let me tell you what a hybrid guitar is. A hybrid guitar is a bass and a guitar combined into one instrument. You can simultaneously play bass lines, chords, and melodies. Fan frets are a critical feature. The bottom three strings are dedicated to a bass register, and on the top four or five strings are in a guitar register, all on one neck. Each side has separated circuitry and is meant to be plugged into its own corresponding amplifier. That is the thing right there. You're supposed to plug half of this into a bass amp and half of it into a guitar amp, which is both ridiculous and brilliant. So I was looking at their guitars and my goodness. So it's essentially three luthiers who have come together to make these hybrid guitars. And oh my God, they have their universal 7 and 8, you know, a 7 and 8 string version. Relatively, they've made them look tasteful and conventional. This is a very fusion jazzy sort of brand. And they've got a universal 6, so a 6 string on its way. Be interesting to see how that works. I guess it's two bass strings in that case. But their custom section, now that is where things really, really get going. My favourite thing from their custom shop section was their Charlie Hunter, which is a natural ash single cut, almost, and think of it as a solid body offset jazz box. Yeah, solid though, or... You know, that's what it looks like. The body, certainly the bow of the body looks very oversized. It might be Les Paul size. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think so. And this guitar has two. So on the bass side, so you've got a really extreme, as you will imagine, a really extreme fan fretting to make this work. And you've got three bass strings on this, and then four guitar strings. So a seven string instrument. Now, it's got two Bartolini precision bass pickups. You know how a precision bass pickup set splits? You know, you've got the low tone and the high tone. Well, these are just stacked above and below each other for the three strings. And then they've had Ken Armstrong make up these custom four string. I mean, these they could be, I guess, tenor pickups, I guess. But anyway, you've got these four string custom Ken Armstrong humbuckers. For the guitar, there's a slight overlap, so they have to sort of sandwich them either side of the bass pickups, if that's making any sense. But it's just so bizarre to see something like this on such a traditional setup. They also do it on a Jazzmaster, a 335. They do a thin line Tele version as well, but it's a slightly different makeup. They don't have the... They've actually used pickups, you know, like two humbuckers that deal with the entire range. So I'm not entirely sure how that one plugs in separately, but I haven't read the details on it. Well, actually, it says, you know, the details are coming soon. But it's great. Like these, the 335 and the Jazzmaster. The Jazzmaster is sunburst with a torque guard, but it's got this same blending of pickups on the Charlie Hunter, the guitar I mentioned before. But then you've got, you know, this really extreme fan fretting, this carbon fiber reinforced neck. And the fretboards are all ebony in this case. But these guitars are absolutely, they're so cool. They're so cool because they're such a wonderful blending of traditional and extremely unusual modern. And that's the thing about these sort of jazz fusion style people is they have wonderful taste. They're really interesting, but I thoroughly recommend checking them out. Hybrid-guitars.com. Yeah, absolutely. They do. I mean, those are the custom. Believe it or not, they're universal sort of 7 and 8 are actually relatively normal looking because they have just rather than having the pickups being different, they do, you know, just one single pickup that deals with all 8 strings. So it's essentially a fan fretted guitar, but I assume the tuning's different. £2,500 if you just want one pickup. You know, you can get this junior, or no, the studio. They call it the Universal 7 Studio. One pickup just in the neck. And it looks so cool when it's just one pickup in the neck because there's all this like dead space leading up to this monorail bridge that is so heavily inclined. It's unbelievable. But yes, what an absolutely ridiculous guitar company. Now that kind of led me on. Yeah, I think we've mentioned them a bit on the podcast in the past, but Millimetric guitars. I have got an awful lot of time for Millimetric guitars. They're very cool. You know, I love that sort of Scandic minimalism. And I love that that aesthetic is so absolute in this company. You know, sort of the website, the product shots, the videos, the social media, they all look the same. Like, the aesthetic carries through from guitar to... Maybe that's the sort of marketer in me. But, you know, it's just a very, very, very consistent. And I love kind of the various things they do. Like I said, I've been looking at their bass. But one of the coolest things, I think, for me, kind of about this guitar range is the... I'm trying to find the name before I say it. Yeah, the MGB6. Is it the MGB6? I've said it now. And I actually... I actually don't think it is the MGB6. Maybe it is. Okay, so they do a guitar. It doesn't matter. The names of the guitars are irrelevant because they're all like M3, M5, MG6. Okay, so they do an ambidextrous guitar. What? How can a guitar be ambidextrous? I imagine you say. Well, it can be ambidextrous because you'd obviously have to take the strings on if you want strings off and put them on the other way around if you wanted to play this left-handed, but all the controls are down the middle.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for, but you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Things in the middle. So you've of course got, so it's a double cut. It's a double cut kind of, you know, very sort of squared off Travis Bean meets sort of Les Paul double cut style thing. And then you've got your strap buttons. Obviously in the middle at the back of the neck on the top and in the middle at the bottom where it would normally be, but then you have all the controls are just below the bridge in the middle. So everything is perfectly symmetrical, and my goodness, I'm very into that. I'm very into the idea of a perfectly symmetrical guitar. I was like, oh, the aesthetic's so consistent. It's so like absolute across this, you know, across the entire instrument. But yeah, so you've got like your volume control, your like pickup selector, and then your input jack, all sort of in like a neat little in a line. Oh, I mean, what more can you want? Anyway, minimetric.ca. Check them out because they are. They're outrageously cool. You can, of course, buy Millimetric guitars in the UK from James's Home of Tone. If you're a US listener, I don't know. What's your deal with Canada at the moment? I'm sure you can just get them straight from them or something like that. They're just over the road. But yeah, fortunately for us over here, in such a small luthier, you can now get them through James's Home of Tone. If you haven't checked out Millimetric guitars, you absolutely have to. They might be one of my favorite things. Do you think I should save for a millimetric? That's a genuine question. Let me know. Should I save for a millimetric? I'm thinking about it. I'm going to have to put some time into savings. I'm a bit skint at the moment, but I think maybe I should. Anyway, we should listen to some sound samples. So I know I've said that I'll demo some basses, and I will. I'm sure most of you don't care. But before we look at some bass, I wanted to look at the last bass by Scatterbrain Concepts. But before we do that, a while ago, Stuart Tate from Tate FX dropped off to us the Antares Overdrive, which I thought was extremely good. Now, he gave this to us before we were doing sort of sound samples or anything, so I didn't do anything with it like that. We spoke about it a bit on the podcast, but, you know, I want to hear this pedal. So it's a drive pedal. There are lots of drive pedals, all right? And if I'm really honest, when we get drive pedals, I'm like, yeah, this is great that it's a drive pedal, but, you know, a Hudson sidecar, Hudson Electronics sidecar, like, can it be better than a Hudson Electronics sidecar? Which, in my opinion, is the best sounding drive pedal I've ever plugged in, and I find it difficult to find things that are as good as that. Like, there are a few. I really like the Walrus Audio 385. That is one of my absolute favourites. I also like the Hudson Electronics Broadcast. I thought that was very, very good. You've got to bear in mind, I like a very specific type of drive. It needs to be a mid-push drive. And it needs to be relatively subtle, as in you have to clean it up. My favourite thing about drives are that they can be used dynamically. I like them being there for just a little bit of increased, you know, a little bit of crunchiness when you're playing quietly. And then you can dig in and there it is. There it is, adding to your dynamics, making your playing better. That's what I want from a drive pedal. So it's quite a specific thing. I really like the Aqualung by Rock Fabric pedals. I tell you what, actually, I'll mention this now. I think next week I might do a drive pedal shootout. Would you guys like that, or shall I focus on some weirder things? Let me know in the Facebook group. But yeah, so I'm thinking about doing like a whole drive shootout between and showing you what I think are my like favorite five drive pedals I've ever heard and seeing what you think. Anyway, so this Tate Effect Antares turned up and I was like, yeah, this is great. I've liked Stuart's stuff in the past. I'm sure this is going to be very good. But then I did notice something very cool about this. It started when he described this to me as a perfect mid-pushed overdrive, and I was like, oh, wonderful, wow, this is exactly what I'm into. The controls are simple, as they should be on a drive. There's just a gain, volume, and tone, but the fourth one is a clean blend. So, you know, so the more you're turning it up or down, I can't remember, one of the ways you're blending in your clean signal from the amp, and I was like, oh, that's fantastic, because it means you don't end up running your whole sort of dynamic sound coming from your guitar through this sort of little squishy pedal, and that being the sound that comes out the other end. You're getting all of the wonderful dynamics from your instrument supplementing the pedal, and then you can use it as just giving it a little sparkle, a little touch, and that's what I want a drive to do. I know that's not what everyone wants a drive to do, but that's what I want a drive to do. I don't like Marshall in a box drives. There's just zero dynamics. I don't know why anyone would use them. Tell me why you use them. I can't make them sound good when all of a sudden everything's like, it just sounds like a MIDI guitar to me. Why do you want that? Anyway, this is obviously not that in any way, shape or form. So let's give it a listen. This is the Antares Overdrive, and I'll just show you how I'm using it just to make everything a little lush. I played it clean just for the first little bit, and then I've initiated the pedal. Give it a listen.
Mm-hmm.
So there it is, the Tate FX Antares Overdrive. You can pick that up for 185 Great British Pounds on the Tate FX website, and I think it is thoroughly worth it as one of the best capable of being subtle, wonderfully dynamic overdrives I think you can buy. Absolutely worth checking out. So I said we'd do some bass. Let's do some bass. So Scatterbrain Concepts, they sent us three guitars. Two guitars and one bass. The other two guitars I've spoken about over the last 2 weeks of bar chords, but I didn't speak about the bass. The bass was very interesting. S Bass 1, their short scale passive bass. Very, very unusual, very unusual. Short scale for a start. Everything short scale is, an SG bass or a Mustang bass. Like, short scale is something, or a Fidelity Thundermaker bass. Short scale is something specifically owned by retro guitars. Modern players don't play short scale. But this one is a fantastic example of kind of taking that and sort of, making a hybrid. Also, having passive pickups on something like this, again, I think of as unusual. As soon as you see spalted wood or burls and things like that, it automatically means there's going to be a preamp in there, and that in turn means that it literally does not matter what wood the instrument is made out of, because the output's so high that you could have made it out of a bucket. It don't sound the same. Anyway, so it's based on their SB7 shape, which is their slightest shape, I guess. Like, it's very, very small. Very small for a bass. The body shape is teeny, teeny weeny. Like, only just sort of has, like, shape to it and a horn. But very cool. Kind of, it has an English sycamore top, which is not something you see very often, but it's very lovely. Very, very figurdy, I guess. And yes, 30-inch scale, as I said. Artec soap bar size humbuckers, and they've put those in walnut chassis, which look very good. They've even stuck a ramp in between the two Artec pickups. If you don't know what a ramp is, it's when you have a piece of wood the same height as the pickups in between the two pickups, something commonly done on jazz basses. Because when you play fingerstyle and your fingers pass through the strings, it is handy to have something beneath, something beneath where your finger's going to pass through to stop your finger going too far, so that you can then pull it out and play another note. That's a really bad way of describing it. Basically, it just makes it easier to play fast, and a lot of players like having a ramp fitted. But these look fantastic in the walnut chassis, and then the ramp itself is made out of the sycamore to sort of mimic the rest of the top. You've got they've added these coil splits onto each of the humbuckers. Personally, I thought they sounded great as humbuckers. And then you've got like a three-way pickup selector, but they also have individual volumes for the two pickups, which I thought was really useful, because I really don't think it's not the same for bass as guitar. Like, we would never switch from neck to bridge. Like, that wouldn't be something we do, because generally speaking, we're holding down the fundamentals and you need a consistent sound. It's much handier to be able to sort of create your tone via blending the two pickups. So I thought that was much better. I actually, just for most of it, had both pickups on full. I think I rolled off the volume slightly on the neck pickup, just to give it slightly more focus as I was kind of playing sort of leady stuff. I thought it was best to not have too many of those lows sort of flopping around all over the place. Anyway, let's give it a bit of a listen. Thank you. So, as you can hear here, I'd added a little bit of reverb. Again, I'm using the Line 6 Helix. In this case, I've used... I'm running into a compressor there, Deluxe Compressor. You always use a compressor for fingerstyle. So I'm using the Line 6 Deluxe Compressor, which is their own compressor. I've got that on a 1-to-3 ratio there with quite high attack, which I think kind of makes the compression sound sort of nice and vintage. And I'm running into the their Ampeg SVT4 Pro amp model and an 810 cab, which is a new addition for the 2.8 Helix update. If you have a Line 6 Helix and you haven't updated yet, absolutely update. Now is the time. There's some fantastic things on there, some great new Fender amplifiers and a wonderful new bass amp and some wonderful new bass drives as well. Oh, and a handful of very good guitar drives as well, including the Prince and King of Tone are on there. Has the Heir Apparent and there's something else, I can't remember, but very, very good. Anyway, so I'm running into this SVT Pro. I also put a little bit of 63 spring reverb after the amplifier, just because, you know, you're listening to a bass guitar on its own. That is the sound of this SBC S-Bass 1. I thought it sounded wonderful. I thought it was great having that shorter scale, made it really easy to fly around. And, you know, for a custom-built instrument, I thought it was really reasonable. You can have your own made of this instrument for £2,100, which I think is very reasonable for something that's, like, from the ground up, customised to your tastes with, you know, whatever pickups, wood, etc. that you want. I think that's very, very cool. You can buy that one, this one that I've played, because obviously, you know, I've been swinging it around my head and bashing it into things. You can pick this one up for £1,850. That's the same price as an American original jazz bass. So that's very good. That's very good indeed. But anyway, check them out, sbcguitars.co.uk. That is it for this, the 7th episode of Bar Chords. Only 3 episodes left in the series. What are we going to do after that? Do a second series? Do something different? I'm not sure. But join the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. Catch us on Twitter and Instagram at Guitar Nerds. Watch our videos at youtube.com/guitar nerds. And let me know, would you like a drive pedal shootout next week or not? Like, tell me not as well if you'd rather I did something else. Maybe you want more bass. No one wants more bass. Anyway, I'll see you next week for more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.